within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is tape number 132, entitled, Have Miracles Ceased? Do we dare question the power of God today? Does he not now have the same eternal, unlimited power as always? Do we presume to limit the power of God in affirming that no miracles occur today? The answer to these questions is an emphatic no. Being omnipotent, God is able to do anything. What God is able to do and what he wills to do, however, are completely different issues. God once created man from the dust and woman from man's rib. He once parted the Red Sea and rained manna from heaven upon the Israelites. He once caused his son to be born of a virgin, and Jesus performed numerous miracles ranging from feeding the hungry to raising the dead. None of these miracles are being witnessed in our time. To say that they are not is not to entertain doubts or define limits of divine power. It is merely to raise the question of what his will is for this day. The term miracle has been subjected to indiscriminate usage in our time. Almost anything unusual is incorrectly styled a miracle. God is present and active throughout our universe through the instrumentality of natural laws. But even natural laws are those of whom God is author. A miracle is an instance of God's direct action, which is beyond the power of natural law to accomplish. But is there not voluminous evidence that God is working today in the performing of miracles, such as supernatural healing, tongue speaking, and many such things? We do not believe so. The evidence is far from conclusive. We have no evidence that any miracles of Bible character are present today. Some of the futile attempts to reproduce miracles of Bible caliber are shabby and sometimes tragic replicas. Last August, the parents of a California youth were charged with manslaughter for withholding insulin from their son. The son died, but the father steadfastly insisted the Lord would raise the son from the dead in 3 days. This delusion did not come to pass. The minister of a 40-member church in Tennessee was freed of a manslaughter charge last summer when two of his members died after drinking the poison strychnine to, quote, demonstrate their faith, unquote, in divine supernatural power. These are but two of many tragic illustrations that are available. It is significant that they appeal to Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, as authority for their faith and action. This text speaks of believers casting out devils, speaking in tongues, handling serpents, drinking poison, and healing the sick. All of these miracles are authorized by the same text. The same text others very selectively choose as their basis for tongue speaking and healing. People today believe in modern day miracles. Yes, but such belief does not mean that it is authorized by the Word of God. Throughout human history, there have been the spurious as well as genuine miracles, error as well as truth, and the false as well as the factual. There have been people whose faith was sincerely based upon delusion, as well as those whose faith was anchored in Bible truth. The magicians of Pharaoh sought to duplicate the miracles of Moses, and error is always a counterfeit of truth. There have been groups claiming supernatural power that have had no connection at all with Christianity. Attempted healings and miracles have always occupied a conspicuous place in pagan religions, and mighty world rulers have gone to Delphi, Greece, to seek oracles from the pagan temple to advise on their battles. The sensational revival of the occult in our time illustrates the susceptibility of many people to accept the mystical and inexplicable. These occult groups can perform feats which appear just as convincing as anything offered by the modern-day faith-healing advocates of Christianity. God's Word is ultimate truth, and nothing is true that does not agree with that word. John chapter 17, verse 17. To believe error about the continuation of the supernatural powers beyond the limits of the apostolic age is an error as gross as any other occultism. The Lord acknowledged that many people would claim to prophesy, to expel demons, and to perform many wonderful works that he would not know, and whose works he would therefore not authorize. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. There would arise, Christ warned, false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Servants of Satan would be able to display power and signs and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The Apostle Paul explained that we should not be astonished that such false teachers would appear. For, he said, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. A crucial question is how we are to discern true and false miracles. By what rule of Scripture would a would-be faith healer establish that his work is authorized of God, or that his professed healing is any more genuine than that of an African witch doctor? Some pertinent points regarding the healings of Christ will serve as practical tests for professed healings today. Number one, Jesus did not publicize his healings to create a sensational reputation, nor as an excuse for raising money. Rather, he at times commanded those healed to tell no man. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Number two, he healed all sorts of infirmities, with special attention given to hopeless situations, for divine power does not fail. Number three, he performed no partial healings. People were made whole by Christ. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31, and Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. Jesus never failed to heal a person he attempted to heal, is point number four. He never had any embarrassing explanations to make for his failures. Number five, no question was ever raised of the genuineness of his healings, as to whether the patient had actually been ill or was actually healed. Number six, Jesus did not heal by faith but by divine power. In only one case out of 31 examples did Jesus require faith. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. In some situations, the patient had no faith at all. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. And John chapter 5, verses 2 through 13. Since modern-day miracle workers cannot conform to these conditions under which Christ ministered, they do not represent the same power he utilized. Miracles such as were performed by Christ and the apostles were never intended to continue throughout all generations. Their primary purpose was never simply to cure the physically sick. For if this had been the case, Jesus would have traveled far more widely into all the countries of the world instead of remaining in Palestine. The real purpose of New Testament miracles was to show that Christ and his inspired apostles were speaking by divine authority. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, and Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. A fact once proved is always proved. After the inspired teachings which make up our New Testament were confirmed by the miracles of the first century, they stand proved forever. The Bible teaches that we must now simply study the written accounts of these miracles in order to be convinced of the truthfulness of the Bible. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.